welcome to the Cognitive Rampage Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Lowry. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your cognitive rampage. This was the second podcast to a two-podcast day. Yesterday, we launched, that would be Friday, yesterday, we launched the podcast with Ronnie Graham and Daniel McNamara, producer of the podcast, best friend, etc. And we did that podcast on Friday, and then right after that, about 20 minutes after, we went right into an old friend who I hadn't seen in a long time named DJ Kid Nemesis. He's a resident DJ down in Miami Beach, South Beach, all over the place, though. But I love the kid, man. I got an old story that I talk about that it's just he's always stuck in my head ever since, almost 10, 12 years, ever since this little story. And I opened the podcast talking about that story and pointing out how it's funny how one little story from years ago sticks with you, and that's who you are to those people. But I love this kid. He is truly a passionate music man and always has been since I've known him. And he's a kind kid, and I love him. This is my friend, DJ Kid Nemesis.
How you been, brother? Long time.
Yeah, it's been a while, man. The kid name is right, brother. You haven't fucking changed. You put on a nice beard, though. That's handsome. But
I got the beard thing going.
But that kid face, man, that shit has not changed a bit, man.
Nah, man, the name stands correct. And people always used to ask me if I was ever going to change it, and I'm like, nah, man, I'm going to be a kid forever.
Dude, I remember I told people I'd start a little story, but you know how some people, you know, over your lifetime just leave kind of a lasting moment or a memory, just a thought sometimes in your mind that it'll echo for you. You may never meet him again, see him again, but you're like, you know, there was this one time, this one dude, I have no fucking, you know that story?
Yeah.
All right. Well, my story with you is very short, but I was working, doing something, I think, with Victor Ramos, who you and I both know, and we were all involved in doing some kind of party, and then I don't know if the party happened or went over, but there was a guy that was trying to make a comeback, DJ Freddy the Machine, the old Studio 54 DJ from up north. And you remember that? You remember what I'm talking about?
I think so. Yeah.
And he was begging me to, I think, shop him up at Destiny. He was a nice guy, dude. He was pretty cool. And so we hung out for a while. He could still spin some old school kind of house stuff that I, you know, some 70s fun. It was cool, man. I dug it. I felt like I was like in an old cocaine movie or something. And anyway, but we hung out with a party or something that night, but you had to be somewhere. And he fucked you over too, like a night before. It was over like some small money. He was a dickhead, man. He was not nice to you or some shit. And I was like, how the fuck could he not be nice? And then all of a sudden, he needed a ride home of some sort, man. And it became up to you. And I watched you there, and you were, without even thinking, you were like, I got you, man. And I looked at you, man, and I just kind of met you. You were just kind of coming into Orlando up here, and I was like, man, that's a cool motherfucker. I was like, man, that dude's going to be big as shit, man. Because you had a persona about you. You had a aura and energy about you, even at that young age. Man, I'm talking 10 years ago almost, you know?
Yeah, man, that's Destiny. If you're talking about those days, yeah, that was definitely 10 years ago plus. That was a minute ago, man. Wow.
Yeah, well, that's the story that anytime I, you know, would think about, you know, you or see on Facebook or announcement or party or something, my flash would go to that night when I went, you know, that's a cool motherfucker. Because you know what? The most time I really spent with him was this one night we hung out, and then I watched him be nice, over nice, to a guy who I know was a dick. And, you know, and you just let that go, bro. And for me, it's funny, though, how one small story like that, man, can last 12 years later. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man, absolutely. Yeah, man. I mean, I don't recall the details of it, but I mean, that's happened time and time again. Like, I'm not very spiteful person or hateful person. So, you know, if somebody does me wrong, as long as it's not stepping in the way of my path of life, you know, I'm concerned and thinking about it or arguing about it or anything else, even addressing it. You know, at least any negativity like that.
Yeah, and you know what? When you say it, I'm telling y'all listening, he fucking means it, because he had an opportunity. And he was a young ass, too. He was supposed to be a dick. He was a young, up-and-coming DJ. You know, he had a little ego fucking shit behind him. Easily, bro. I mean, easily could have been like, fuck you, Freddie, man. Like, no. But he didn't. Not even for an instance. I watched him. I remember sitting there. I was fucked up. I'm sure I was. And studying. I mean, I watched Nightclub Floors for a living. I mean, that's what I was doing. So I was just studying people. I won't forget, man. You were like, nope, without a question, gave this dude a ride, bro. But I still think it's funny how, you know, one small story sticks, and 12 years later, I'm like, you know, that's how I remembered you for 12 years. And then you think about people's lives and how many one-timers we've been in people's lives where we may have been a dick and fucked up, and it's echoed for 15 years. They still remember us as that dick or that really nice fucking, you know, guy that helps them shit out.
Yeah. You're absolutely right, man. Like, and it's funny, especially in the industry that we've been in the, and I mean, back in Orlando days still, I mean, it felt like a small circle of people, but it was actually a pretty big city. And, you know, going to different cities and growing in my career and everything. I think about that too a lot, whether or not I'm being a dick to somebody or if I was being a jerk when I made a certain comment. Most of the time when that happens, I'm usually playing around. I'm usually not, you know, taking the situation seriously. You know, most of my friends know me, you know, just to mess around like that. But I try to make a positive lasting impression on most people that I encounter, you know.
Well, it's smart too, because I think, hell, I'm just really marinating on that point. I mean, you hear the cliches, right? I mean, first impressions, et cetera, last a lifetime, all these other ideas. But when you really process an idea, when something happens in your life, you go, I remember that guy. And I think in the industry that I'm glad I left, holy shit. I talk in my book how I left it in 16 hours, man. I just went home, got rid of everything, and went on walkabout. That's why I disappeared for like 2 years, man. I was out in the desert, down in the Keys. I was gone.
Yeah, man. No, absolutely. And I mean, I don't want to say I haven't had the notion to leave, but then it's, for me, it's not a matter of whether I'm stuck in it or not. For me, it's a matter of just using what I've learned and branching out and growing, really. I mean, I grew a lot since then. I mean, my beard grew a lot. And I mean, I grew a lot with, you know, friends and family and just gained a lot of wisdom. You know, I was lucky and fortunate to be in, you know, an adult life at such a young age when I, you know, I had no business being there, but I was there. What? And I was in it. I was in the thick of it. And I learned a lot, and I got a lot of, you know, good friends out of it. And I learned, you know, how to let go of some friends, and it's just a growing experience, I think, with everything. It doesn't matter the industry or the place.
Yeah, and at the time, man, I was 10, 12 years deep in that industry, from nightclub running, event promoting. Hell, I DJ'd for a short period of time until I left when everybody became a DJ. When it when it left the turntables to CDJs, and then everybody's a fucking DJ. I'm like, this shit isn't even fun anymore, you know. But for you, there was a difference, man. For me, I was selling the time. I was organizing the image. I was, you know, I was good at selling Babylon. You know what I mean? And that was what I did. And that's a job of something different. You're an artist. And so I don't think artists that follow their heart have a choice to leave an industry. I think their art is the industry. So I can leave. I have that luxury. You couldn't just say, yeah, I'm not going to do music anymore. I mean, I don't think you could do that.
No, that's definitely not a thought that came to mind. It wasn't just like, oh, I'm going to stop doing music. Like, that was never even a question. Like, I've never even thought of not being involved in music at all, you know, whether it comes to production or DJing or, you know, anything involved in music. Whatever, I'm just at home, you know, drumming on my pots when I'm cooking, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, it's kind of something that's in our blood, you know. I'm at my boy's place now, and we're going to be heading out to another meeting, and it's just nonstop. It's just a nonstop train of just networking and music and just enveloping yourself and your heart and your soul into this industry. And it's not because of the industry. It's because of what you love. And like you said, yeah, like, we don't have a choice. Like, I'm chasing my dream. My dream just happens to go through this industry. And that's the way I look at it.
I like that, man. See, a lot of people love that line, chasing my dream, but a lot of people don't finish that with something specific, you know, and lining that out as I'm chasing my dream. It just happens to be through this industry. I love that because, you know, chasing a lifestyle or even chasing an industry, I think, makes people inauthentic in their approach. And the way you say that, I know you have to be authentic in your love and passion for it, because you say, look, man, this is what I love to do. Y'all just call it this shit.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, put it plain and simple. That's just the way it is. Yeah, they just call it something else.
You would tell that to a motherfucker that works the stock market, right? I mean, if his dream is the stock market, well, that's what he's working. That's what he has to do. You know, for you, it's like, man, y'all call it this shit. This is what I do. You couldn't call the stock market that if there was no stock market, is what I'm saying.
Right, exactly, man. Yeah, man. and it goes back to way back then, man, growing up in Orlando and everything. I learned a lot in Orlando, man, and I'm glad that I've left, and I learned a lot more outside. That's definitely my home, man. Like, I definitely don't shy away from that. You know, that's my place. It's my stomping grounds.
Well, take me back to the actual kid in the Kid Nemesis, man. Take me there in the growth, man. I mean, how did music bite you? What's the first story? I don't know, man. Just take me back to the actual kid before we get to the DJ kid part.
the actual kid, he was a shy kid. I wouldn't say he was too introverted, but he definitely had his own mission in life. And it was at a young age when I learned about music, and I really fell in love with it. Like, it was a switch, like one to the next. One day I liked music kind of, and it was like a cool thing or whatever. And then the next day it was like, that's the only thing I could ever think about. The only thing I could ever think about was music and all kinds of music, how it was made, how people made it, who made it, you know, the different instruments that were involved in making music. And,
hold up.
And I just devoted. Good. I just devoted, you know, tons of my time to just learning about the. I mean, we use this word, the industry, but to me, at first, at the time, it wasn't the industry. It was just, I just wanted to learn about this life, you know, that was going to be, you know, opening up to me, you know, if I was to continue on the path that I was taking. And I, you know, I took it. You know, I was exposed to, you know, festivals through my parents. You know, we used to go to, you know, Puerto Rican festivals all the time at the fairgrounds in Orlando. And I used to see DJs up on the stage, and I used to just be like amazed, like, man, this guy's like rocking this whole crowd. Like, he has control of everybody here. Like, wow, what a power trip. And then same thing, like in school, like I was in band in school, you know, I took 2 years of band and not marching band or anything, but like orchestra.
You ain't gotta lie. It's okay. Horns. You wore that outfit. You ain't gotta lie. It's okay.
Yeah, I had the outfit. Don't worry. And my mom put up the dough for it. But I mean, I learned a lot through that too. That was just another lesson to be learned. You know, another lesson that I picked up on my own to really learn what this life was about. Because when you go to a musician, I hold the most respect for people that play instruments and people that sing and anybody that really has that natural raw talent for it and uses it. You know, I completely commend them, and I almost envy them, and I wanted to be that. I wanted to feel that for myself, somebody to feel that way about me, and you know, I just wanted to be authentic. Like you said, I was looking to be authentic, and I didn't realize that people were looking at me as I'm trying to do something, you know? So that was just, I just tried to keep my mind focused as a child, as a teenager, you know, to get there, you know, just to be that person, to be the person that I thought I wanted to be. And it just happened to play out the way it did, man. I mean, it just, things just kind of fell in line, you know, whenever you go for something.
Yeah. When you talk about the difference, right? Because if somebody says, you know, I just love music, I say, look, we already butcher the English language enough. But, you know, when people say, yeah, I like music, I don't trust a motherfucker that doesn't like music. You know, I think that's the first thing we click on a damn profile of anything, right? So, I mean, yeah. We like music, but that, what would you say is that defining definition or separation between, say, someone that goes, yeah, I like music, I love it, I'm into it, and that, and the person or the artist that chooses to push that path or walk the path that you happen to call that industry?
Wow, I mean, I would say it isn't, there's no real definition to it. I mean, a defining factor, I mean, to really divide the two sides, the two people, is the sacrifice. You know, the sacrifice is what you make, you know, the sacrifice with your friends and your family and your social life and your money. You know, the sacrifices you make, I think, for your dream really define, I don't want to say how much you love it or not, but definitely it defines how much you're willing to go after it. You know, how deep your ambition goes. You know, I think that's, the sacrifice is the most prominent word you could use for that.
And it's funny that people that don't, you know, live in any kind of industry that appears fun from the outside, when you talk about the industry being, oh, your social life's impacted, and explain really what you mean by how the social life is impacted by living in any sense of form in that culture.
I mean, your social life, it's not easy to date when you're in this kind of industry. You know, you obviously know that from back in the day in Orlando. You know, you're loose in those days. And it was like that for me. I mean, I experienced it. Why wouldn't you indulge in, you know, the pleasures of whatever your, you know, life brings you? But as far as socially, like in high school, whenever we would go out and you would see me and we would rock Destiny, or, you know, I was in downtown and rocking a nightclub or whatever, I would have to wake up and go to school the next morning. And that was always a big thing for a lot of people up there. You know, they would, you know, get on me for that. They would get at me, you know, oh, you got to wake up in the morning, do homework. I'm like, yeah, motherfucker, I do. Cause I got a life too, you know?
Yeah.
And, but that definitely impacted my social life in my age demographic, because my mental started changing a lot. And I would, like I said, I'd sacrifice and devote a lot of time to what I wanted to do. So then my friends, you know, that were in my age demographic or my age bracket, they, you know, they kind of started falling off because they had different interests. You know, they had interests that didn't interest me and things that I didn't feel that were important. Or my boys, you know, were, you know, I wanted to be with them. I want to hang out with them, play ball, you know, go to dates or, you know, whatever, go to parties and shit. I had to make that sacrifice if I wanted to get where I wanted to be.
Yeah, those friends always forget you until it's Friday, Saturday night, and they're trying to get in.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much, yeah. And back then, they definitely couldn't get in anywhere. So the second they turned 21, I had my phone blowing up.
Yeah, man. Oh, that's, you know, part of that for me in that lifestyle was difficult leaving that behind so quickly. I mean, shit, leaving it, you know, 16 hours almost. But you develop almost kinships and relationships with people when you're into it, because everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people in that grind is an entrepreneurship. It's not a corporate grind. It's people pushing their own ideas, their own talents, their own art, et cetera, and their own concepts. And when you live in a world of entrepreneurs, you have major egos in the way. And then not only you think you connect with these people to et cetera, but when you remove yourself from that environment and you see these kinds of people, a lot disappear, you know, and it's many, many disappear. But for you, how do you focus on trying to separate the difference between one, you know, someone looking to monkey bar or attach, or somebody that's really separate, you know, a real friend that comes around?
I mean, I think that's a very difficult thing, and it's got to be like case by case, simply because I don't think it's that a person is going to be your friend and then one day, you know, they're not. In this business, and it's an industry, like you said, we're all entrepreneurs. We all build ourselves, and you got a lot of people look at that from a business aspect, that if you're not a necessity in my, you know, in my equation, they're gonna get rid of you. You're just a variable, and so they just chop you. You know, if you're not helping them in any way, they'll just chop you out of the phone. You know, whatever it may be, it happens a lot. I mean, I've done it to people. People have done it to me. It's just the way of this industry and the way of this business. But when it comes to separating a friend, like, I mean, that's a very difficult thing. You know, because you end up spending a lot of time with people, and the time you spend outside of the business, I think you really get to see what kind of person, you know, your supposed friend is going to be, or your supposed friend is going to be towards you. You know, when you take out all the money, when you take out all the girls, when you take out all the drugs, when you take out all the music, when you take out all that, and it's just you and that person, you have a conversation with them, you know, what are you guys going to talk about? You're going to talk about, you know, fruits and, you know, vegetables, you know, what are you going to do? And it really comes down to that, the substance of your conversations then, because how far is that person willing to go, you know, when it comes to something serious, when it's, you know, my baby's at home crying, you know, my wife ain't picking up the phone. Hey, bro, I need you to get over to my crib right now, and I need you to see what's going on. You know, will that person drop shit for you? You know, I'm at my boy's crib right now. You know, like, we're just chilling in his spot. Like, this is my boy, and I met him through the industry.
Who's he, man?
I mean, years ago.
Who's he?
Say what?
Who's he? Put him up. What's up?
You wanna do a feature, a little cameo, brother?
Yeah.
This is my man's, he's my partner. His name is DJ R. Silva. He's the DJ for the Miami Heat and my partner in our new publishing company that we just opened up.
What up?
Chilling in his,
yeah,
his white t-
Good morning, man.
Good morning.
This is definitely morning for us, you know what I mean?
Well, that's part of that industry, isn't it, man? That's the lifestyle, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But like, this is a good friend of mine. I mean, and we managed to keep our friendship intact, you know, through the business moves that we make together. We understand that. You have a common understanding of the person that you enter into a venture with, and you just gotta stick to that. And a lot of that is commitment. You know,
lost him again virtually. We're gonna have to try to figure out another way at the Rampage to start having some guests in, because it's happening about 1 to 2 times each time we have a virtual guest in. We lose connection and bandwidth, but probably due to a few more listeners than we were anticipating. So we need to increase our bandwidth and capabilities on our side, but guess that's a good thing. I'm talking for about as long as the break is. I lost DJ Kid Nemesis for about 2.5 minutes, but anyway, I'll edit it and bring it back up anyway short, but just let you know it cuts out one more time later in the podcast for about a minute or so. But I update you, I bring you back about what he was talking about for the minute or so. So appreciate you sticking with us, and back to the show.
But we were talking about separating the industry, about working in the entertainment industry, be that a DJ, a promoter, a nightclub owner, even security guards. These people are involved in it too. And I knew he'd come back, man. We cut off about 3 minutes and into your partner walking in, and I was trying to call a timeout to you. You're a popular bandwidth guy, man.
You got me now that everything's good?
Yeah, we should be switching now, man. Jesus. All right. That happened on like a couple other shows, man. It's when some viewers, like a lot, will type in at once or join something. We privatize the viewership on Google Plus because that's kind of a personal account. Yep. But through YouTube and where at? Oh, 6 other places that, you know, are streaming from. So it happens sometimes. But I was filling them back in, man, how we were talking about, you know, the difficulties, especially in the industry, if you will, of separating friends from those that try to monkey bar on what you're doing. Because you said something very important, which was we are entrepreneurs, but hell, I'm in the business too. Hell, let's just say it. I do podcasts. I'm technically in the industry, but you are deeper in the industry for sure. But, you know, we're taught this personal power movement. We're taught this brand yourself, build yourself. If someone's not helpful, they're dead weight, cut them from your life, you know, which can be positive notions. But we're supposed to live like that. But yet there's, let me attach to you, let me collab with you, you know, this part, this exists in there, right? So for you, you were talking about how you, through your career, have learned to separate the friends from the image, if you will, because I know the image is still you, but from, I guess I could say, the rewards that come from with that and the negativities.
Right. Right. And like I use my boy that I'm at his house now as an example. We definitely use each other from in a business aspect. You know, we know we have things that will, I don't want to say aid us, but add to us, make us better, you know, from each other. And I think that goes a lot with any friendship or any relationship, you know, in general. But definitely in the industry, it becomes a lot harder to make that variation, you know, to draw that division to whether or not this person is my friend or this person is not. And I mean, those moments that those people have with me, or whether or not they want to use me, you know, as a DJ or as a producer or as whatever, you know, they use me as a damn prop if they pay me. But, you know, it's really, I leave it up to the person, you know, that I'm communicating with. It's in their hands. You want to be my friend? I have no problem being anyone's friend. You know, my time might be a little limited, but I will, you know, be a positive and true friend. I'm very honest. I'm very blunt. I don't like, you know, to lie and like go around and snake around people too much. You know, it's that, I find that as a big waste of time. So it's the same thing with friendship. If we're wasting our time trying to be friends and we're not going to be friends, you know, just be honest with it. You know, tell me how you're feeling. You know, tell me, you know, whether you do like me. Tell me whether you do like, you know, the moves I'm going to make, you know, in the future that I'm telling you about, because, you know, I'm open. I'm willing to be someone's friend, you know. I'm willing to reciprocate. It's not a big deal for me.
Do you respect it more if somebody's just up front with more or less like, look, I think we can do something together, or we could do business, or somebody that's tapping into, you know, something else because they want, I don't know, a discount on what you do or entry to, I don't know, the biggest event in the world or something.
I mean, that's a play by play that happens all the time here in Miami, especially, you know, since I moved here, I learned that a lot. People, like you said, they monkey bar their way up, you know, through their friendships and through their relationship, which, you know, I don't bad talk anyone for doing that. You know, that's why not? Why wouldn't you use your resources that you have at hand? But, yeah, I definitely don't necessarily approve of that. You know, if you know someone was doing it to me,
yeah.
But it has happened before, and I'm not gonna knock nobody for doing it. I'm not the type of person to do that.
All right. So what you heard is, don't ask his ass for admission on Friday and Saturday nights when he's doing his damn thing. If you really appreciate the artwork, pay the damn cover so they can pay his ass for doing his thing and come listen.
Thank you. So you want to buy a table?
Yeah, or that. Yeah, so that was my speech at the door. I was like, look, you're coming to have a good time, right? Support your people that you know inside then.
Right.
You're like, what? You can't do that? No, but I mean, on a brighter side, man, I want to go back to that kid too, man. What was the first song, man, that said, I got to touch the tables? What was it that you heard? Or give me the story, the day where you finally just made up your mind. Because look, we talk about, you know, I think about doing something for a long time, but then the day comes where we go, that, all right, I do it today because I do this. What was that day for you in the music?
I want to say I had another interview, another podcast I did for a friend of mine, and a really good friend of mine. He's a DJ. His name is LS. And he asked me a similar question. I gave him a story.
What's his podcast? Put him out there, man.
It's DJ LS and Friends. He's local in Miami. And I mean, his podcasts are up there. You can find him easily on Google, DJ LS. And he's a really good friend of mine. And he had me on his show, and he asked me a similar question. And I've had that question before a lot of times, and I wasn't really sure how to answer.
Damn. I came with an original lame ass fucking remix, man. You're killing me, dog. Well,
it's cool because the more I get asked this question, the more I can find a more clear answer. And to me, there's three things that really happened. Because I told them the same thing. It's a collection of things that makes you want to do something. It's not just one experience. You always have an experience. And then there's a collection of things that happen, you know, other experiences, other events that make you want to do it even further, that convince you. So for me, I want to say I was at my friend's house, and we were playing in the living room or something, and the TV. And it was Deep Squad, Deep Cover. And Big Pun came on with his squad, and I didn't know what to do. Like, I kind of heard it, and I kind of didn't have a feeling to describe when I heard it. So I watched the video, and I'm like, this is the coolest shit I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, these thugs up here repping Puerto Rico in New York, like, that. I was like, dude, I'm a fan. Like, this is the dude right here. This guy's doing it. And that, bro, I was like fucking 8-9 years old when that happened, you know?
Yeah.
And then another time, like I said, we were at a Puerto Rican festival or something like that, and we were out. I was out with my sisters or my mom. I don't remember whose hand I was holding. We were walking by one of the stages, and one of the DJs, one of the local DJs from the radio station at that time, was up there. And I didn't know his name. I didn't know anything about what was going on. It was just that moment I saw him up there. I wanted to see myself up there, and I couldn't see myself up there, but I wanted to see myself up there. And it really drove me it really drove my curiosity to try to understand what was going on and how can I get involved in it? How can I do it? You know, how can I do it? So in high school, you know, learning through music and going through all that shit, I got my turntables, went to the pawn shop. You know, my mom helped me get them. I was at the record shop every day. And one day my friend, we're out playing basketball. We're just, you know, eating shit. And, I would always talk to him about music and being a DJ and shit. Like, he's my best friend. I grew up with this kid. And
can you put him out there?
Yeah. His name is Angel Castillo. He's my brother. Like, he goes by the name of Yoda. And I grew up with this kid since second grade, you know, before that even.
Huh. That's funny, man. That's what I used to call Victor.
Nice.
I shit you not, dog, because he was in the promotion business up here and down there, and then as Danny and I were breaking into it with Rendezvous, man, we did a little loop-de-loop, pulled a little deal on somebody, and we did good, and I was like, that was a good idea. I'm going to call your ass Yoda. That's funny.
Good idea, Yoda.
That's weird.
I mean, to wrap it up, basically, was like, he put the nail in the coffin for me. He was like, what are you doing, bro? And I'm like, what do you mean, what am I doing? He's like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, you want to do this so much, you love this so much, you never stop talking about it, and you have the way, you have the access to do it. You have friends and people that know how to get you in the industry. What the fuck are you doing? If I was you, I would just go do it. And so I did. I just was like, all right, you know what? You're right. That's, I mean, no one else could say it straighter than that. So I just got up and I went back home and I did my research and I committed myself 100%. Sure. You know, I mean, it was, I want to say those three instances are some of the most important factors that they're the most vivid memories that made that switch that helped me, you know, make the final decision to commit to this life.
Well, all right. I'm going to say this. So what happened was you had a little bit of interest in something. Then you sought out some competence in it, which created an experience. Within that experience, all of a sudden, a slight interest exploded into a passion to which you gained more experience and competence in, and then became confident in, and found a new passion in life, which was almost 15 years ago this happened, and you have now chased this 15-year passion to its successful place it is now, all in that order, and have found happiness and enthusiasm in doing what you have found.
Yeah, that sounds about right, man.
Okay, well, I wrote a book called The Cognitive Rampage, A Dose of Authentic Revelation. And basically what I just said, I teach you how to do in the book. I use philosophies, inventory, psychology, all of these processes people apply, bro. And man, I love this. People are going to start to think that I'm like setting people up to come tell their story. And then I'm like, guess what? You know what I mean? And so as you're talking, I'm like, I love this guy. He comes on and he's basically saying, yeah, I live my dream because I live my cognitive rampage.
Yeah, man. Clearly stated. I did my research on you too, man. And I agree with a lot of your philosophy. And I mean, basically just get up, get it. You know, you really got to think about what you want in life. You know, you and a lot of people have trouble figuring out what they want to do with their life. You know, they become lost or they give up and they don't even try anymore. And I feel fortunate enough to have a passion because a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't. They can't find that passion. And I feel fortunate enough to be amongst friends and family that support my passion. And they understand. They might not understand fully the things I do, but they definitely understand me. And they understand that it's something that's going to be inside of me and it's going to drive me, you know, no matter what.
Yeah, I think what we're sort of talking about is that notion of purpose. And, you know, a lot of people in their lives, myself included, we fall into this notion before in life that purpose will find us, right? We think that one day, you know, purpose will find us or we'll find purpose, right? We think that, you know, just being all of a sudden we're owed this. And I'm totally opposite that statement. One of my favorite statements is that purpose doesn't find you. You find purpose through purposeful structure. And when I use purpose, I don't mean it so much as your destiny or legend as I mean it. You do things purposefully and structure them with a purpose. And you structured your life based around a very small interest, and you structured it with certain purposeful people, purposeful places. You put those in place as you chase that competence, and that purpose essentially found you.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. That's exactly the way it would be. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. You have to put the building blocks in front in your own way.
You know, finding that purpose, a lot of times people misuse dialogue and language. You know, we think it's wordplay. You know, we talk about just throwing words around, but words mean something. You know, you remove a few words and intentions change. So, you know, when we construct our own dialogue, we got to be careful. So when you say things like one day purpose will find me, et cetera, or whatever, what you believe and how you construct it is important.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I feel fortunate. I'm nobody to be, you know, speaking to anybody on anything. Like people ask me for advice sometimes and I'm not really sure how to give it. I just tell them from experience, you know, if they're experiencing something that I've experienced and I made it out on top, I let you know what I did. But, I don't know, like a lot of people ask me for advice and it kind of throws me off because I'm like, why are you asking me, bro? Like, I'm still hustling. Like, I'm still learning. I'm still grinding like everyone else.
Well, that's funny. That's principle number one. Humility equals competence. People can't get smarter in exchange and feel more experience from other people unless they have that humility. But there you go again, kid, giving Freddie the Machine a ride home.
Yeah, there you go.
See, you've been that way, man. You've been humble from the get, hence the competence, man. I mean, so I'd ask you, man, what would you tell the DJ that's out there feeling like that, that's back there, you know, 12 years ago?
What would I tell myself or a kid in my situation? I mean,
word it how you want to. What, you know what? Answer them both. Fuck. And what would you first? What would you tell the DJ that's out there who may be similar to the guy that was, you know, back in the day? Who's struggling?
I mean, if I had to tell him anything,
or her,
I would tell them, you know, to like you said, to structure your life in a way that, I don't want to say necessarily is going to suit you, but it's going to benefit you and your dream without causing any negative wake. You know, you don't want to cause a negative wake because that's going to come back to you, you know, one of these days. You know, you always want to stay positive, stay humble, keep your humility, you know, hold on to that. It's precious. Don't build a big ego and never stop, you know, never stop trying and never stop learning and never stop trying to learn. Those things I think I would tell any young person or anybody, you know, that has a venture in mind, you know, an adventure, because that's kind of what this life is. And us, like millennials and 90s babies and even 80s babies, like we are entrepreneurs, we are the future, and we are the people that run this world and run this economy, you know, we really are. And I think it's important for kids to learn that.
You got me hype, man. I'm all like, yeah, I don't know. I started singing Renegades or some shit. I was just about to get. Hey, man, watch that television in the background, bro. YouTube will kick us off and shut us down if they pick up content that's not ours.
No problem. No problem.
Yeah, sorry, man. I'm sorry about that, dude. I should have said something, man, because we've done that, man. We pulled up stuff before talking shit, and we'll do a long 3-hour podcast about something, and next thing you know, I'm off YouTube, because that was crazy. Bots picked that shit up, man.
Yeah, they catch everything.
Yeah, man.
They catch everything.
Well, you know what? That's a good segue, man. I love that shit. I love it. The universe just gives you segues, man. Obviously, the internet helps most artists these days, but what do you do about keeping content yours versus free versus private versus working with people? How do you manage to do that? Like, how does that work really today?
I mean, today's world is pretty crazy the way it works. I mean, with the digital age now being the predominant factor, you know, in this industry and in almost any industry, you gotta really do your research and get your paperwork in order if you're gonna be releasing music. You know, when it comes to releasing music, I tend to rely, you know, on the lawyers and the people that have been in the entertainment lawyer, you know, side of it, because I try to keep my mind as creative as possible. I've learned a lot in the business. I've learned a lot about how to make business moves, but I try to keep my mind as creative as possible, because you can't have a mind or a brain that is gonna be working on both ends. You know, you're either going to be super creative or you're going to be super logical and super, you know, not productive, but, you know, super logical in your thinking. Creative thinking isn't very logical. It's very illogical. It's very irrational. It's all over the place. And when it comes to, you know, the business side of it, you have to be very pronounced in everything you're going to do. Very straightforward. You know, very, this is by the books. This is your money. This is my money. Ain't no fuckery. You know, and in on this side of my brain's like, la, 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 yeah, whatever. Go ahead. Do your thing. As long as I get paid, you know, as long as there's food in my fridge. And then I go along about my business. But in this day and age, bro, I mean, I always was the type of person to be like, oh, I want to give myself away for free. All my music, all my content, everything that I produce or anything that I mix and make, you know, is usually for my own personal use and for my own DJ career and my own sets. So I always just push it out there and just, hey, this content isn't mine. I just did this. I did this creatively. I mixed this content for the public to hear, and I don't want no dollars for it. And that's the way I used to do it, you know, a long time ago. And with this new, the new me, I want to say, over the past few years, I'm not getting out of the DJ industry at all. But I definitely learned enough about the music industry to branch out. And which is why, you know, I introduced my partner a little while ago. Him and I have, we established our own publishing and writing company. And it was a long, long time in coming. It was a long process for us to do that. And we were fortunate enough to have those legal, you know, people that would help us along the way, making sure all our paperwork in order, all our I's were dotted, you know, all the T's were crossed, and kept us safe, you know, from any, you know, malicious activity. And you got to have people behind you. You got to have people that support you and people that back you, whether they're on payroll or not. It doesn't really matter. You need to have a support system. And that's the way, you know, you keep your music safe online, you know, in the hands of other people. You know, it doesn't really matter. You know, that's how you keep your music safe. You got to have a team.
That speaks to a huge point, too, because in the industry, whether it's and especially I'm going to focus on hip hop and pop music, even even in rock stuff, is there's this. But I will say focus on the hip hop realm, because I think it may be more prevalent. There is this notion of self-made. I don't need anybody. I'll make it on my own. And you spoke to a couple principles there through your little mini rampage there, is, you know, the idea is you sought out competence or mentorship from someone else, or even if it's just competence mentorship, which is the lawyers, and to know better to when to subcontract something when you don't have the knowledge yet. And a lot of people coming up in this business, whether it's hip hop and music, they tend to want to hoard themselves, their ideas, and try to wear 50 hats, because what does the personal power entrepreneurship movement tell you? You got to wear many hats and work all the time. Well, that shit ain't healthy. You got to take care of yourself, and you can't grow unless you expand. So, you know, the fact you talk about that, man, and realize that at such a young age, that building a team and giving your stuff away for free, I mean, these are huge moves that I think a lot of people in the business should really be focusing on and maybe expanding on.
No, absolutely, man. And the most successful artists that I've had the chance to, like, meet or even just, you know, be a fan of, they've done that. I've watched and I've learned from them. They push their music out for free for a certain amount of time, and they reach a certain level to where they need to start taking things a little bit more seriously. But they don't go off and go to, you know, go to school and you know, pass the bar to get their, you know, in entertainment law. They find somebody that has the wisdom and the knowledge and the experience to help them, and that whole mentality of hoarding, you know, all your ideas and hoarding, you know, all the responsibility, it kind of seems ass backwards to me. You know, I don't think they're by themselves. Never. You know, you didn't make it here without your mama. You didn't make it here without your pops. You know, you didn't make it here without a support system, without your, you know, your friend, your boy, your homie. You know, it don't matter who it is. You know, your girl. It doesn't matter. You have a support system somewhere in every aspect of your life. And I think those things are important. You know, really, really important.
Yeah, and from an artist perspective, you guys really have two support bases that you have to keep happy, which are A, the fans and the people you do it for. Well, three, those fans, then the lawyer side and the check signers and the corporate people, then as well as somewhere in the middle of that yourself.
Yeah, which is a constant battle, I'd say, for anybody in the music industry. It's definitely hard to fulfill yourself and also fulfill a check. And also fulfill, you know, somebody else's heart. It's not that easy to do. And I commend all the artists that do that, you know, successfully.
Yeah, we were talking early on the podcast about actors and actresses. We had a guy on who had to go deep into this role of a PTSD veteran, and talking about the tremendous roles it plays on your emotions and your, you know, yourself, you know, when you have to be somebody and get deep into their psyche. And I mean, we got to face it that, you know, I'm not calling it bipolar, Gemini, fuck all that. What I mean is sometimes we do, as we get older, have to be two people. We have to be the one that we are at home with our family and friends. And then when we cut on the decks, or when you're on the microphone, right? And we try to, and I think we live through our art that way. At least I know I do, is the guy I am at home is the guy I am on the mic. For the most part, you know, but I think our lives filter through the artwork that we do. And a lot of times we were talking about how pain creates creativity. But would you think maybe because two forces in artists are constantly pushing, why they find themselves lost in addiction, alcohol, hell, they get lost in ego and fame even?
No, absolutely. I agree with that 100%. The constant pulling back and forth of you, I think it creates a lot of stress on your emotions, you know, your deep emotions, your moralities that have been set in stone for so long. And they just get pulled back and forth, because those things, you know, all emotions are going to drive you creatively. And when you get pulled back and forth from one side to the other side, you got to give in, you know, a little bit here and a little bit there. And it takes a lot of toll on you. It takes a big toll on you. And I think a lot of people do get lost that way. They get lost in addiction. They get lost in alcohol. You know, I know, especially in the nightclub, man, I mean, alcohol is 100% like one of the biggest things, you know, involved in the industry. That's what people consume. That's what sells the money. That's what I make money off of. That's what the club makes money off of. Shit, that's what, you know, everyone there is making money off of or spending money on. You know, that's the main basis of things. And it kind of sucks that, you know, it's a drug. You know, it's something that you can become addicted to. It's something that can ruin your life. And for an artist, I think it definitely does take a huge toll on you when you're constantly divided, you know, mentally and emotionally. You know, being Kid Nemesis was a kind of a scapegoat for the kid, you know, for the child that was growing up, and he didn't really want to be in that era. Like I for the longest time I felt like I was born 10 years too late, and I'm like, dude, I wish I was like 10 years older than I am now. And and I used, you know, the DJ aspect, the entertainment aspect, to live my life through that. And you know, it goes hand in hand with what you just said. I mean, that's exactly what I did. And I didn't realize I was doing it until I actually did grow up, until I got in my 20s. And I was like, you know what? That's what I was doing. But now I'm somebody else. Now I've become this DJ. Now how am I going to balance out my emotions with my family, with my girlfriend, with, you know, my not my real life, you know, the life that I keep precious to my heart, you know?
Yeah, I do. What are some of the things that you do, man, to keep that? I mean, that division, you know, happens. What are some of the things you do to keep focused, man?
That goes hand in hand with the sacrifice that I spoke about earlier, man. Sacrifice is the biggest thing you're gonna encounter. You know, how much time you're willing to give up with your wife. You know, how much time you're willing to give up with your kid. It's a huge sacrifice that you give up in this industry, and you have to find the time. You have, no matter how tired you are, no matter how much shit you got on your plate, you gotta find the time to tell the person next to you, hey, I appreciate you, I love you, thank you. You know what I mean? You have to try to find the time somewhere. My mother calls me every day. I don't always answer, and it breaks my heart when I can't answer, but I call her back and we talk on the phone and we catch up and I make sure everything's good at home. And
every girl just passed out now crying, man. You're pulling some Elvis shit right now, man.
I'm sure they did.
He calls his mom every day. Oh, he's so cute. I love him.
Yeah, even at the studio, like I take a break, you know, I'll step outside real quick, answer the phone real quick, head back inside. You know, if I can't do nothing, I'll send a message. Or it's that communication, constant communication with people. I think that helps me draw that division to what's real and what's not, what's business and what's pleasure, you know, what's creative and what's logical. You got to find out your own paths and your own little vices that you either have to get rid of or you can succumb to in order to make, you know, your career or your life better, one of the two. And it's really case by case, man. It's really situational, you know, circumstantial rather.
Damn, son.
Sorry, I'm getting Bill Nye on this.
Damn, man. I'm going to change your name, man. Like DJ Philosophy or some shit, man.
I went to school, dog. I went to school, man. I went to high school. I learned a lot in high school.
Yeah, shit. I did too. How to roll.
Yeah, right?
You brought up an interesting point early in the podcast and second again here about maintaining a relationship in that kind of industry. And what that requires, and also even the kind of relationships that industry can bring around if you're not careful, man.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's something that...
And I specifically mean, you know, dating, love partners, not friends in business.
No, yeah, that's something that was difficult to truly understand and try to get a hold of. You know, growing up young, I didn't really care that much. I had a girl and... You know, I had a girl in high school. She was my age, around my age. And like I said, I was born 10 years too late. So all the women that I just happened to, you know, like were just, you know, a little bit older, by like 5 to 10 years.
And I'm sure they liked that kid idea too, bro. There's some fucking funky, lovey shit going on.
The kid played in Orlando. The kid thing played in Orlando very, very well. But... You find everything to be very shallow, You know, everything that you do in the industry has a limit. It's never very deep. You know, you're never going to get your neck wet, you know, in the industry, unless you really fuck around. And it just, you got to find somebody that's willing to understand you. You know, it goes back to the support system. That person is going to be an addition to whatever your dream is. You know, you can't always be selfless. There is, you know, you are important, you know, to yourself. So you need to be able to build your support team around you. And when it comes to a relationship, I think that person needs to understand that. And it's hard to find somebody that's willing to do that, whether it's in the industry or not, but definitely harder in the industry. There's too many temptation in the industry, too much temptation, too many things that will tempt you to go away from your dream or your vision. And it's tough for a lot of people, man. I know it's tough for a lot of people. It was hard for me. It was hard to find somebody. Even when I did find the person, I didn't really realize it. You know, we had to go through a lot of experiences to for me to truly understand that the person that I have is going to support me, you know, 100% no matter what. You know, whether I fall or fly, that person's going to be there. And it was hard to find that. You know, it was really hard to find that.
Have you found that?
Absolutely, yeah, man. I'm married.
Yeah, put her out there.
Yeah, I'm married. You can follow her. She's pretty popular. More popular than me, shit. And at least in the city.
You are definitely 10 years older in the soul, brother, because like myself and you and many smart men out there, we realize to marry someone smarter than us.
Yeah. Yeah. you got to level up, bro. Level up. Yep. You know? So
Sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah. Her name is Romina. You can follow her, Romy Q, on Instagram. She's beautiful. She's smart. She's loving. She's caring.
She's super married.
Understanding.
She's married.
Say what?
She's married.
She's married.
Yeah. Don't let that little. Don't let that kid face fool you.
Yeah. Don't be hitting her up in the DM, but only for work, only for business, because I get a cut of that.
Oh shit. Yeah, man. Don't trust that kid face right there, man. You know what they say, the last guy running with a name like that, Billy the Kid, was quite a little dangerous kid face dude, you know what I mean?
Yeah, true. Nah, man, and my girl hustles too. She understands the industry. She's in the industry, she works in the nightlife. So she understands what my world consists of, you know, what my everyday world consists of. And we found a good balance. You know, it took us time, but we found a good balance, you know?
Yeah, that's hard to do, man. I lost many could-have-been-maybe relationships to that lifestyle, man. And they went down in flames, too. Jesus. Woo! That could have been...
A lot of times that happens.
Oh, man. I think it felt like mine was on public display most of the time. It was nuts, but you were around a few times, man. But help people maybe try to understand, you know, we talk about the lifestyle itself and people have seen enough drug movies, nightclub movies, DJ movies, whatever, where they've been to a club once or twice and an after party a few times in their life. And they think they understand and they think the life is this 24-hour party, if you will, of, you know, lightweight, have your fun, you know, and there's a separation there, you know, and so maybe you could help people try to understand really behind the velvet ropes and, you know, the black jackets of it all, man. The real life versus the lifestyle life.
Oh, there's no difference. There's cocaine and bitches everywhere all the time. That's the way my house looks.
Woo, he ain't even playing.
Nah. I was surprised. I was surprised. Like in movies and shit. Whenever we were watching them, I'm like, oh, it's always an over-exaggeration.
Make sure you say allegedly after really something like that. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah, there's never
but
any
I was
of
really
that.
Surprised whenever I saw, like, after parties and shit in hotels. Whenever I would go backstage with artists and we'd go to parties and shit, like, it was pretty serious. And to live that day for an artist every day is taxing. Like, I don't know if I could do that. Like, there's a lot of people that do it. Like, my boy here, he parties all night long, every day, all the time. And that's why he's in pajamas right now.
Well, all right.
And we got to go to work.
All right. Well, that totally destroyed my whole theory about the separation. But now let me see if I can make myself look a little better. Because it's a little tougher because the social life, the people in the industry, too, also know that when you're hanging out is also work. So if you appear at a certain club at a certain night, you got to call a friend and go, hey, do you need me to come buy a bottle tonight? Do you need me to come? I'm going to chill tonight. We're all going to go over to my friend's club and help him pack it out with some friends. So there is no off time, right? And so, but what the division, I guess, that I was trying to point out between the lifestyle and the real life is that even in the real life, it's still the lifestyle.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Even you're right. Even in the even in real life, you're still living the lifestyle of, you know, whatever, you know, your dream is, whatever you're trying to do. You're still going to live that lifestyle. And obviously you have to take the time separation for, you know, your wife, you know, or your kids or, you know, your girl. You have to take those times for your family to really focus on what is, because you're constantly living the life of, you know, sex, drugs, and partying or whatever the fuck. But it's not like that. Like, you're constantly living the life either on the computer, social networking, sending out emails, you know, living at home from work, back on my desk, researching what I do, what I should have done, you know, or you have to attend an after party. And I don't want to go to an after party at 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, I would like to wake up semi early in the afternoon, you know, and have breakfast. But sometimes you can't. Sometimes you gotta grind through it.
Breakfast is 5 a.m., man, before the sun comes up, man.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was like 1, yeah, know, 12 well, in the afternoon.
Well, that's what I mean. That's back in that industry, bro. It's like I'm eating at 5 a.m. because I got to keep going after that at 6 a.m. and keep riding. You're trying to right? eat. I mean, it. But that is hard to do because in the side that you're on, and meanwhile, make music along the way. People don't understand, even with the podcast, right? I mean, there's the life of the DJ I can't speak to anymore. I don't live that, but they don't realize how much of it is sitting still and a desk job to a point. But then every time you're like, I'm going to go down for a sandwich, you got to watch out because either somebody's like, hey, man, what's up? You got to watch what you're saying, what you're doing, you know, in that industry. And plus people ask tons of favors. So like I said, even the social time that you have is still probably limited to doing favors for, you know, I'll show up over here for you or I'll do this. And I mean, it's...
Yeah.
That's partly why I got out of it, man, is, you know, it was important for me to find somebody that, you know, I could share my life with, you know, that was smarter than me. And I tell you, and there was a lot of other things going on, but part of getting out was going, you know, I got to find a woman at a different place for me because it put me in a different place to work in that environment. Like I said, it put me in a different place, made me a different guy, et cetera. It was hard for me to keep that division, man. My life was that. You know what I mean? So there was no separation for me.
Yeah, that's definitely something that I battle with that all the time, and I have, you know, it's a constant fight to find, you know, where I am, you know, as far as my DJ career is, and where I am as far as me as a person. You know, where am I going to be in, you know, 5 years? Aside from what I'm doing, you know, with my money, you know, what I'm doing with my business, who am I going to be? You know. You don't ever really know those questions until you're there. Like you said, you became a different person and you didn't really realize it. And that happened to me. That happens to plenty of guys that I know in the industry. And it's a constant battle. I really don't have a solution or an answer for that. Like, it's just, it's the way the world is, the way it is. And you got to fight it and you got to be strong enough and you got to have that support system, that team behind you to make sure they can pull you back. You know, if you ever go too far, they got to be able to pull you back. You got to have somebody that could, you know, slap you in the face and be like, dude, stop fucking around, you know, at the end of the day. It helps a lot.
Yeah. While we're on the negative shit, I'm going to ask you a question that I'm going to bet nobody's asked you before.
Go.
All right. And well, when you're talking to a counselor trained mental health guy and he hears that I asked a question that everybody else does, that's personal. That's like you playing a remix that somebody else has.
Right.
All right. So here we go. What's the worst set you ever played? What happened? When did it just fucking crash for you? When was it like, oh my God, when did the train wreck happen? And take me to that moment.
Wow.
Did I get one?
I think you got me, dog. Shit. I don't know, man. There's a complex answer to it, because the reason why I'm having trouble answering it is not because I never fuck up, but because I fuck up a lot. and a lot of times some people don't hear it. Like, almost every set I've ever done, I'm always like, ah, this would have been better. Oh, I fucked up here. Oh, did you hear this? Oh, did this happen? And people are like, dude, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And I'm just like, dude, almost every set I've done, I've fucked up somewhere. Nothing's ever gone exactly the way I've wanted it to go ever. But I mean, I can't really say like of my worst party or my worst set. Like, that's some pretty bad ones. That was some pretty rough times, you know, back in the day. So I mean, I don't even know, man. Like, it's happened. All right, just to let you know that it's happened, and it's happened to pretty much everyone.
What was the worst gig you ever took paying? Where you said, fuck, I got to get paid, and then maybe it was supposed to be something else, and you walked in, and you're like, oh, shit. What's the worst gig that you ever had to take? Like,
sorry, my boy's giving me shit right now for something else.
He's going to tell on you if you don't.
Nah, bro, there's been some pretty rough ones. I mean, I don't even know, man. There's been some days where I've just been straight depressed at work, and I'm just like, the thing is, I get things sometimes, and I think it happened at like a wedding or something. I was doing a wedding.
Always.
I was still doing the mobile DJing, you know, back in the day. Like, it was back in Orlando.
Yeah.
And back then I had towers, I had everything, you know, ready to go. At the same time I was doing the clubs, you know, so I was just trying to make money. I was like, yo, this is great.
Grinding, man.
But then shit. I remember sitting in front of those people. And I remember playing music that I just didn't want to play. And I remember just not being in a good mood. I didn't want to get on the microphone. I didn't want to do shit. And I'm just sitting there just with the pissiest attitude. And they paid me decently. It wasn't like, oh, my God, I'm getting paid, so let me shut the fuck up. No, they paid me decently, but I wasn't about to take no attitude from anybody either. And at that point, I realized, like, holy shit, man. This person's paying me bills right now to come in here and basically be an iPod. So I'm going to shut the fuck up, and I'm going to go ahead and smile on my way home.
Oh, there's that humility, man. You know how many DJs would fucking be yelling right now? Wait, we're more than iPod, man. That's humility, bro. That's doing it, man. I mean, look back at you, bro. 12, 14-something years, man. You were driving around with fucking towers and shit, taking wedding DJ stuff, man. Now look at you in fucking Miami, doing your thing at Nikki Beach routinely, man. You're murdering it, man. You're a fucking superhero, bro.
Thanks, man. I like I said, I'm just on the grind, man. I'm on the grind with my boys, trying to do my thing. Got my boy heckling me over here.
Well, the wedding DJ, man. That's all right.
Everyone's done it, man. Don't get them. Don't listen to them if they say they've never done it. I've done it. You know, I've done the bar mitzvahs.
What are you talking about? Are you talking about the ugly chick everybody's had to take home for a friend or DJ or what?
That has never happened to me. That one, you're alone on that one.
Now I know you're lying. Now I know you're lying. Yeah, now your boy can fuck with you. He was there that day. He was there that day. He saw her. Shit, man. Wow, man, I could catch up for a while, man, but, you know, it's been hard enough for an hour, man, sitting here staring at your damn turntables, my dog, and I'd love to hear something, dog.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a problem, man. I'm going to go ahead and get some shit going. I'll just mix up a couple things here and there. Even my boy, if he wants, he'll jump on. We cut up and, you know, we do our thing every now and then. We just come here and jam out. You know, for the most part, that's all we really do is come here and jam out and, you know, do our thing, and then the next thing you know, we're in front of 600 people and we're doing the same exact thing we did in the bedroom.
Oh, wait, what?
Yeah, pause. Almost, not like
that. I'm fucking with you, man. Dude, man, you make me want to, like, you make me miss it, man. I'm like, shit, you know, I sound like an old dude with a football player, you know, like, I'm going to go back. I missed the thing. But I can tell you, man, it's so fucking good to see you banging in the game, doing what you do, man. And if anybody deserves anything or any push or notoriety, it's you, man. And I'm here to tell everybody that's a fan of Kid that he's been this authentic of a dude since back when he was a jit, driving around with his towers, trying to hang out with everybody, and he did. And his personality, bro, got him in the door. He was honest, and then the music murdered, bro. Like, there wasn't a night once he got, well, you're third person, you're right there. Once you got to Orlando, bro, there wasn't a fucking night that I couldn't deal with or go around that you weren't DJing at, from the Dragon Room to Bliss to Roxy. I'm like, all right, man, Jesus. And I loved watching that blossom, man. I love seeing it now that it's just turned into so much. You've stayed the same person. You stayed humble, bro. And I mean, dude, thanks, man, for coming on. But I don't want to go right to the music yet, though, man. I do got to ask you, man, what's your life philosophy, man? And what drives you every day to do what you love, man?
That's a daunting question, man, because like I wake up every day, and some days I wake up and obviously you wake up and you don't feel like doing shit that day. But I still haven't achieved my dream, you know. I felt many dreams and I fulfilled many goals that were in my dream, but I still haven't completely fulfilled myself. And I don't know if it'll ever happen. And if it never does, I will feel very fortunate, because then I will constantly wake up feeling like I need to move forward. You know, I will constantly wake up feeling like I have to get up and do this podcast. I have to get up and hit up the studio later. I have to grind and spend 3 hours, you know, making a song that probably is not even going to come out to like 30 seconds long. You know, I have to do those things. And I feel like it's because I want to fulfill those dreams. Every little tiny thing that I do, every little accomplishment for me is a big dream, is a big goal, and is a big achievement. And I think everyone should appreciate themselves in the things that they do, because a lot of times you take, you know, the things for granted. You know, walking across the street, you could be gone. So why wouldn't you take the fact that I got up, I walked across the street, I handled my business, and I made it back home? That's an accomplishment for me, you know, no matter what your business may be. And I wake up every day wanting to feel that way, wanting to feel not empty, but not like I'm missing something, but more like I need to fulfill myself further. And that's, I don't know, that's like my philosophy, I guess, you know, fulfillment.
Woo, that was in, bro. You tuned me in, man. Is a lot of people, they get the idea that they're searching for, I think, some sort of acceptance of happiness, when, you know, I argue even in the book and my theories, and like you did, brother, it's right on, is that we can be happy in the now while still yearning for optimization.
Absolutely.
Just because we reach to better ourselves or don't feel ourselves completely satisfied with a project or work or even self doesn't mean that we're not happy in what we have and who we are, but we yearn for that optimization, that improvement. And I've talked to a bunch of artists, man, on here, from musicians to painters, directors, and it's so, there's one common thread, man, between everybody that they've said, and that's that idea of it's never a finished product.
Sorry, you got cut off there.
Yeah, what was the last thing you heard? Because I'm trying to remember what I said.
You got cut off right as soon as you started talking.
Man. What were we talking about? Dude, I hit this flow state, right? You spark something with that. That philosophy was beautiful. Let's play around with what you're talking about and it'll come back. That philosophy that you were talking about. I got it. All the artists I've interviewed, directors, et cetera, from every type that I've had, even authors, creators, we were talking about that difference between being able to be happy in the now and love that, and while still being not quite fulfilled by searching for optimization, that continuous search for that perfection. And I think I closed it by saying that most artists have said or feel, no matter what masterpiece they've created, that no piece is ever finished or fulfilling.
Absolutely. Completely agree. From an artist point of view, or from an artist's mind, every person I've come in contact with, they always say it's never done, it's never finished, and it never will be. You know, you can never, I think the day that you find out that it is finished, something you did is completely done and it's completely fulfilled, you might lose your dream. And I think that's a scary thing for a lot of people. The thing that scares me a lot is I'm pretty content with my life, but if the day comes that I completely am just satisfied 100% with everything that I've done, I'm nervous that I won't want it anymore. You know, that's a scary thing to think about. And I think a lot of people don't look at it in that perspective, you know, that you might lose that passion. You know, it's more of a insecurity and a fearful, an inner fear that I think a lot of creative minds experience. You might lose it. You know, you never know what will happen once you actually complete. That's why it's a constant thing in the back of your head. It's never done. No, it's not done. I need to tweak this. No, I need to do this. It'll be better. It can always be better. But that's another thing that goes hand in hand with music, is that music is a constant evolving an eclectic substance. It's something that will always change, you know, something that will always, always change.
Preach the cognitive rampage on, baby. Shit. Yeah. Ooh, dude, did you see how your mannerisms changed? You look mad for a minute, but that passion, that excitement, that enthusiasm was coming out in you, man. It was like it's always changing. I could see that in you, bro.
That's good, man. It's a good thing. It's a good thing that I can actually, you know, let it out and people see that that's a passion. You know, it's a passion of mine. It's a passion of mine to think about why I think. It's a passion of mine to think about the music that we, you know, we listen to. And it's something that's natural, I think.
No, it's not natural to you, to you, an artist, man. You're talking to a counselor over here. I talk to a lot of people, brother. That is not natural. Maybe it used to be.
Maybe it used to be a lot, but fortunately for me, it's in here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. It starts with the essence and the spirit, man. I mean, it starts with that inside, what we believe, and that, you know, that the energy, I guess, that we put out there and our thoughts and behaviors, man. And shit. Yeah, man. That's deep as fuck, bro. You're dropping knowledge, man. You ready to drop some music, man?
Yeah, man. I'm ready. We're going to mess around here for a little while. Let's see what's up. Let's see what comes out. Let's see what happens.
That's my favorite way, man. You know, I freestyle, man. I may start spitting. Watch out.
True. Let me get things set up and I'll test your level right now.
Oh, no, don't do that. Nah, man, I love it, too. Yeah, the way you started defining music right there, man, this is what I do, it's what I make, this the boy, that enthusiasm. It was like it was an Any Given Sunday speech or some shit.
I should be your, one day I'll be a writer. Maybe I'll write a book like you.
Oh God! Listen. You're gonna appreciate this, all right? And then cut break into it. But I can tell you, this is how I described writing that book, bro. You know that chick that you don't want to call at 3:30 a.m., but you're way hammered and it's been a little bit, and you know when you get there, it's gonna be off the fucking chain. But then you're gonna wake up tomorrow and go, "What the fuck did I do?" You know that chick?
Yeah.
That's writing a book to me.
True.
You sit down, you think about it almost till you're drunk with what the fuck. Then you kick it all out. You have the best time. You just blah, you get it all out there. You pass out at the keyboard. You wake up in the morning and you go, "What the fuck did I just do?"
Yeah, man, that's real passion. That's what that's called. It's called real passion.
Well, thank you, sir. I love it, dude. Why don't we kick
it? Let's see what's good and we'll kick it right now.
All right, for y'all tuning in, man, shit, you need the hype guy, man. You go to the announcement, they bring you in, like, coming to you live straight from where you at? You in South Beach? You in Miami? Where you at, Miami?
Yeah, Miami, man.
All right, man, I was going to give a direct shout-out, but, man, coming right out of Miami, right out of his friend's bedroom, right out of it, man. Hey, man, it ain't the club. My boy's premiering DJ Kid. Motherfuck you, Nemesis. Murdering that shit, boy.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
I only have one question.
Are you ready?
My kill is... My kill is will not take no fun at
Make some noise!
We needed a moment of silence.
Kid Nemesis.
I came in this is sweat. I came in this to wild the fuck out.
Like a motherfucking prison drop. fancy, look like a plan. Going out like a Montana. Any killers on the helmet. Legacies, fun, Macy, fun, Huggy Smoke. Done, selling ball, gun. Then on the match like run. The tropical ice is for granted. The nigga bullet your band. All the killers understand. I got brothers in the land. This is the day in the family.
Too much people watching, man. They're killing it. Oh, man. I'm getting too hype in the cognitive cave.
That's on the low, low. I'm just trying to get you out the friend zone. Cause you're not even better. I only call you when it's high, but the only time that I be by your side, I only love it when you touch me. Now feel me when I'm broken. That's real me when I'm broken. That's real me. Yeah. I only call you when it's high.
First, let me hop out the motherfucking Porsche. I don't wanna hit that ass, don't see like a horse. I be ballin' on these niggas, got me feelin' like sports. Yes, got so much wood, I could build me a fort. Ain't so many things I ain't done yet. I'm the king of this shit, crowned by the toilet. I'm just better getting started, you already upset. Got a tiger as a pet, I just took him to the villain. Homie, I be making hits, I'm the rap there. G, let your bitch ride on me like she was on the feeder. If the pussy ain't good, then I probably won't feed her. Little homie, you can keep her, cause I really don't need her. I ain't worried about feet, so homeboy, you can pee on toilet seat. Ass nigga, man, I swear you getting peed on. Man, my church so cold, I walk around with the heater. My alarm clock set, just in case they wanna sleep on it. I'm a full-time player, hopping out an alligator, sipping lean annihilator. Homie, I'll annihilate you. If you think you wanna battle, you gon' have to pay some paper. I just hit her and I quit her, I would never ever date her. It's the same how I'm barely getting up in the city. Travel to another town, you can bet the fucking women. Killing this shit, pray to God they forgive me. They say when you blow up, don't forgive me.
As you all could tell, as he was remixing, we were losing signal in and out. Trust me, that's not his remixing doing that, man. That was the servers and bandwidth competing, but he picks back up. I chopped it up and basically just cut him to the next song. I didn't want to make it sound like the mixes were bad, but back to the remix with DJ Kid Nemesis.
Yeah, with widows. Yeah, yeah, ho, ho, yeah, ho, ho, ho. Hard to see with widows. Yeah, yeah, ho, ho, yeah, yeah, ho, ho, ho. Hard to see with widows. Yeah, yeah, ho, ho, yeah, yeah, ho, ho.
Hey!
They shooting, I made you love.
On some chill shit, we go 0 to 100, nigga, real quick. Baby on that rap to pay the bill shit. And I don't feel that shit, not even a little bill. Fuck all that Drake, you gotta chill shit. I be on my little mouse drill shit. Fuck all that rap to pay your bill shit. Yeah, I'm on some rappers pay my bill shit. 0 to 100, nigga, real quick. Real quick, whole squad on that real shit. 0 to 100, nigga, real quick. Real quick, real fucking quick, nigga. 0 to 100, nigga, real quick. I go 0 to 100, nigga, real quick. I go 0 to 100, nigga, real quick. Real quick, real fucking quick, nigga.
Real fucking quick, nigga.
Yeah, I'm burning it up. DPGC, you should be turning it up. CBT, LBC, yeah, we hooking back up. And when they bang us in the club, baby, you got to get up. Cause homies, thug homies, yeah, they giving it up. Low life, yo life, boy, we living it up. Taking chances while we dancing in the party for show. Slip my girl a 44 when she grabbing the dough. Looking at me strange, but you know I don't give a step up in the club. Just a swank in my head. Trick, what you talking? Crip walk if you down with the set. Take a book. Some grip in, how to take it, put it down for the father, oh rap. And if you don't trick to get cracked, oh trick, shit, you trap. Come back, get back, that's the part of success. If you believe in the S, you'll be relieving your stress.
Da 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 da, it's the one and only D-O-double-G.
Go, go, go!
Da 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 da, I hope you don't mind what
you do. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Da 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 da, it's the one and only D-O-double-G.
Hold up.
Yep, that happened right at that break. I know. At least it's cutting this way. Back to it. DJ Kid Nemesis.
Hold up. Hold up, hold up. Hey, for my niggas who be thinking we soft, we don't play. We gon' have to little bills from off. Hold up, hey, for my niggas who be acting too bold. Take a seat. Hope you're ready for the next episode. Hey, 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 hey.
You know I'm out.
real, it's the next episode.
You know my niggas everywhere. And if somebody got a problem, we could meet up anywhere. Now go say something. Don't you niggas play dumb. You know where we came from. You don't want sauce, no A-bomb.
She's like, wonder what she'll be like. She walk past my friends, pretty wide. But she lies one more time. I got this shoulder.
Hey, I got a Glock in my arm.
Everybody put your hands up. Everybody put your hands up.
Again, boy, but I was loving it. He brings it back real quick, though. Come on, bring it back, DJ Kid Nemesis.
Fuck your hand. Get up high. Like we all be doing shit in town.
Throw your motherfucking hands.
Now throw your hands up in the sky.
All the girls dance to me, to your motherfucking man.
Now throw your hands up in the sky.
I ain't never tell you to put down your hands.
I'ma put this down.
And y'all ain't losing no high, they smoke
I make my money right.
And all the ladies in the house,
check that body, party that girl.
Ladies, and all the ladies in the house,
check that body, party that girl.
Get down, girl, go ahead, get down.
Get down,
girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead.
If you ain't no punk, holla, we want prenup. We want prenup. If you ain't no punk, holla, we want prenup. We want prenup.
On the remix. Oh, 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 oh. Baby.
Like that.
Yeah.
Baby.
So I speak. Yeah. Just keep it on the down low. Nobody is supposed to know. So I speak.
Of loneliness, and we've been through so many things. I love my man with all honesty, but I know he didn't know me. Yeah, I love him in his eyes, but all he tells me is leave me near. I'm never leaving down, though I might mess around. It's only cause I need some affection. So I speak, yeah, I just keep it on the down low. Nobody is supposed to know. So I speak, yeah, cause he doesn't know what I do. And no attention goes to show.
I gotta get him in the studio to do that up here, man. He's just messing around at his boy's house right there, man. And yeah, it cut out again. Back to the kid.
Yeah, I know you've been like that. Gone like a horse, baby. Should have said you're wicked like that. We live where the war is raging. Chasing our crazy dreams. Hoping that the bridge won't cave in. So now we'll let it all go free. Give me the ting, I'll make me rockin' at a dance. Give me the ting, I'll make me rockin' at a dance. When she talk, I'm stepping at a dance. Give me the ting, I'll make me rock, 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 rock. Give me the ting, I'll make me rockin' at a dance. Give me the ting, I'll make me rockin' at a dance. When she talk, I'm stepping at a dance. Give me the ting, I'll make me light it up.
Your flame to the fire, spray like your name on a flyer. They wanna tame your desire, but you light it up like you ain't getting higher. I wait for Messiah, but until that day, I'ma rise up. I put my light in the air. I wanna see everywhere. I know I say I'm out, but next time I never. I wanna see you light up.
me act like you know I agree. And I tell me say I sneak, you a sneak. But from looking at your eyes, me see the freakiness. Baby girl, make it a leave. And I like say me no treat you good. And I like say me no go out. Every time you come on me yard, you a worry and your man there at your yard. Bad enough you know, say me and you a fuck. Bad enough you know, say you a give it up. Bad enough you know, say you come over me yard.
Girl, take it off for a young boy. Freaky things that you do with your tongue. Up and down the floor like a stripper. Ass up, bass in the pillow. Popping it, pussy popping on the headstand. I just be your nigga, I can be a man. Sex so good, make you say you love me. Oh, love, make you say you had a boyfriend. And I like the way that you fight, the way that you kiss you, yeah. You like the way I get money, the way I boss up, yeah. When I hit it real fast in the back, why you make that ass drive and you look back at it? I should take a photo, but nobody up, you don't know.
You say me and you are fucked, but enough you know, so you are giving up. But enough you know, say you come over me, yeah. Baby, you take off your dress. But enough you know, say me and you are fucked, but enough you know, so you are giving up. But enough you know, say you come over me, yeah. Baby, you take off your dress.
What up?
Look, working right now. I got my mom sending me voicemails.
Damn, man.
Yeah, how you like the mix, man? We just like you're messing around, playing some old school mixes, new stuff.
Yeah, that TLC remix was sick, man. You took that shit back.
Yeah, man, I have to always do that in my set. I always make sure, like, I pay respect to, you know, where we always came from, where all the samples came from, you know what I mean? There's still old heads in the club and shit. It's not like they get left. They're just in the back now.
Let me ask you now, man. Keep it going. Keep that playing in your ear, dog. Keep that playing. Now what's your life philosophy?
My life philosophy, shit, man, my shit doesn't change much. I mean, whenever music is playing and whenever the energy's vibing, I mean, my philosophy is just to keep going, just to keep it moving, keep the blood moving, keep the blood pumping, keep the energy positive, keep it riding. That's the only thing that my mind thinks about whenever it comes to playing. Once I play, it's a completely different state of mind for me. A completely different person takes over. I just feel on my spot. Go, relax, ride.
Yeah, that's the flow state. I knew when you were spinning, you'd get that flow state. And then I wanted to ask you, and do you see how simple you kept it? Keep it moving, keep going, and keep it positive. There's your fucking mantra right there, DJ.
Show, man. All day, man. That's how we do it, man. That's how we do it.
Dog, man, thanks for joining us, dog. Thanks for spinning and talking, man. It's good to see you again, man.
You too, brother. You too, man. I appreciate this a lot, man. I appreciate you thinking highly of me enough to speak, you know?
I never forgot that night, man. I never forgot that night.
No doubt.
Hey, any shout-outs, man? Where can they find you? Give all the PR moves right now, man.
All right, yeah, man.
You may want to turn down the music so everybody can hear you good.
I got you, man. It's pretty simple to find me. It's just www.kidnemesis.com. I mean, it's just kidnemesis.com. You can find all my social media outlets on there. On Facebook, I'm Kid Nemesis. On Instagram, I'm Kid Nemesis. On Twitter, I'm Kid Nemesis. I'm the same dude wherever you go, wherever you see me. I'm the same dude, man. I keep it authentic as possible, man. Shout out to Amp One, my management group right now. Shout out to my boy Silva. Shout out to Vice City Beats, our new publishing company we just started out. About to head to a very important meeting right now, man. It's the grind never stops. Like I said, keep it moving, keep it positive.
I love it, man. Love you. Love you, boy. Love everybody, man. Thanks for doing this shit, man.
Nah, I appreciate you a lot, man. Thank you, man. We'll catch up very soon again.
Hey, anytime, man. This mic is open to you and anybody. You got something to promote, premiere, whatever. They're a friend of you. They're a friend of mine, man. So number love from the Rampage, the Tribe of Change, man, everybody. And thanks again, man. I hope you enjoyed sitting and talking with DJ Kid Nemesis, man. He's an old friend that goes back a ways with me. It was good to touch base with him and, you know, see that he's doing well, man. He deserves it. As you can see, man, he's a good guy, man. He's honest. He's down to earth. But, you know, he was kind enough to share a long afternoon with us before he had to go into work and spin some music for a living, man. But I hope we help some of you that are in the business or some of you that aren't in the business maybe understand a little bit more what the business is, what it entails, what it takes. It's hard work, man. And, you know, you got to be willing to sacrifice your social life to be in that game. And I think that's a remix that a lot of people just don't understand. It's a whole new world. It's not about just partying and doing your thing. It's dedication, finding the right friends and being weary of those around you, but knowing to be authentic at the same time and following your passion and your love by doing so. And I love what Kid said, man. It's, you guys just happen to call this an industry, but it just happens to be what he does. So it's his passion and his love, and it's what he does. And I'm glad he shared it with us, and I look forward to catching up with him again. But hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your cognitive rampage. Love you.